Okay. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we're entering into the time. We're entering into the world of Nisan, of Nisim, Pesach, this Shabbos. We read the last of the four special parashas that we've been reading from the four Purim, Parashat Shkalim, after we read the regular parasha of the week. Parashat Shkalim, Parashat Zachor, Parashat Parah, and now we're going to read Be'ezrat Hashem, this Shabbos, Parashat HaChodesh. Parashat HaChodesh, the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people as a nation while we were still in Egypt, the first mitzvah was HaChodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim. Hashem gave us a mitzvah to count time, to declare the new moon, and that the year begins with the month of Nisan. HaChodesh Zelachem. Hashem made the Jewish people masters over time. So we declare the holidays, we declare the Yamim Tovim, we arrange the Lua, the calendar. This is the entrance into the world of Pesach. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaKodesh, the mitzvah of declaring the new moon, the year, beginning, Pesach's beginning. There's a Kabbalah, there's a tradition that we have. Tonight we're going to talk about something that's not so simple. There's a tradition that we have that's brought down in the Torah, in the name of the Gaonim, goes back to Rav Hai Gaon, and probably this goes back to the very, very beginning of things. There's a Kabbalah that we have that Chiyat HaMeitim, the dead coming back to life, the resurrection of the dead, which is one of the 13 principal faith of Judaism, right? That the dead will come back to life. That the dead will come back to life. This tradition tells us that that will take place in the month of Nisan. That Chiyat HaMeitim is in the month of Nisan. Will be in the month of Nisan. That's the tradition that we have. That's when Chiyat HaMeitim happens in the month of Nisan. On Chol HaMoed, Pesach, on Shabbat Chol HaMoed, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we read the vision of Yechezkel HaNavi, of the dry bones coming to life, which is the most vivid description by any prophet, by any Navi, of what's going to be with Chiyat HaMeitim, the dead come back to life. Good, so we have such a belief. We have such a belief that the dead will come back to life. The question is, what does it have specifically to do with this month of Nisan? What does it specifically have to do with the mitzvah of HaChodesh Zelachem, of declaring the new month, the new moon, the first mitzvah in the Torah, really? And what does it have to do with us now, with serving Hashem now? The belief in Tziyat HaMeitim, the dead coming back to life, what does that have to do with now, today? We'll see a little bit later that a person, Chas V'Shalom, even if a person believes in the whole Torah and believes in all the mitzvahs and everything, but does not believe in Tchiyat HaMeitim, we'll see exactly what that means a little bit later, that person, God forbid, does not be kosher, there's no part in the next world. A person can believe in all the mitzvahs, put on tefillin, eat kosher, keep Shabbos, but if the person does not believe in Tchiyat HaMeitim, that the dead will come back to life, that person, God forbid, has no portion in the next world. As it says in the Mishnah, which we'll talk about soon. Let's understand. On Pesach night, we drink four cups of wine. And the four cups of wine, there are many, many, many reasons that I brought down in Chazal why we drink four cups of wine. Many reasons. The most... the best known reason why we drink four cups of wine on Pesach night Arba Kostos is because there are four languages of Geula, four words of redemption in the story of leaving Egypt. It says, V'ga'alti, I'm sorry, V'hotseiti, I took you out, Hashem says, V'hitzalti, I saved you, V'ga'alti, I redeemed you, and then it says, V'lakakti etchem li la'am, and I took you and made you into a nation. Taken you and made you into a nation. So there are four cups of wine for the four languages of Geula, Hoseti, Hitzalti, Ga'alti, and Lakati. And there's a very important, a very, very basic difference between the first three languages of Geula and the final one, which I spoke to the boys about this morning in Yeshiva, that really we need a good hour and a half or two to talk it over, like we did this morning. So I have to make it very quick to understand. But there's a basic difference between the first three languages of Geula and the fourth. So the first three languages of Geula, I took you out, I saved you, and I redeemed you, are all referring to things that Hashem did for us in the past. Things that already happened. Things that were. Hashem took us out of all of our problems of Egypt. Whatever that was, Hashem took us out. Hashem took us out from all of that. But those are all things that happened in the past. So the Mefarshim say, V'lakachti Echem li la'am, the fourth and final language of Geula, redemption, that I will take you and make you into my people, that's referring to the future. V'lakachti Echem li la'am, I will take you and make you into my people. Because v'lakachti always means that you're taking something from one place to a different place. That's what means v'lakachti. Everything else means I took you out of Egypt, I saved you from Egypt, I redeemed you from Egypt. That's one category. Those are the first three cups, the first three languages of redemption. The final one is, and I will take you someplace. To Israel, to here, to there, I will take you. Taking means from one place to a different place. It doesn't just mean out of some place, it means to somewhere else. Now the halacha is, the halacha states that you're not allowed to drink anything in between the third and fourth cups, right? You're not allowed to make any break between the third and fourth cups of wine on Pesach night. For people like ourselves on our level, but understand this well, listen carefully, because then the whole thing connects to the very beginning point, which is still simple. But to understand Tchiyat HaMetim, the dead coming back to life, and what it means for us, you have to understand first the simple point. For people like ourselves, it means that it's forbidden, God forbid for us to think that Hashem stomped took us out of Egypt, that we should be a free people. Hashem took us out, that we should be free. In America, everybody's free, yeah? In America, everybody's free. You can do whatever you like. Hashem took us out. Hoseti, Hitzalti, Ga'alti. I took you out, I saved you, I redeemed you. It's forbidden for us to think that God just took us out of some place and left us to say, here you go. I felt bad for you, I took you out, so now you're on. Go ahead, do what you like. Have a good time. Have a good time, go ahead. You're on your own. You're free. Like here we say in America, anytime you want to do something that the teachers or your parents don't let you say America's a free country. America's a free country. I can do what I like. America's a free country. This is the outcry of every child of America. America's a free country, therefore I can do this, I can do this, I can do whatever I want, because America's a free country. Good. So the blacks in America were freed from slavery. Good. We want that. We don't like slavery. We want people to be free. All that, to be freed from slavery, connects to the first three languages of redemption. That I took you out, that I saved you, and that I redeemed you. All of that doesn't tell us, so what are you going to do now? So there's a famous poem in Hebrew, La'an. To where now? To where? So now where are you going to go? Fine, you're free. Good. So the blacks of America are all free. Fine, we like that, that's nice. We don't want people being slaves, it's very nice. Everybody's free. So now what? So now what are you going to do? The word v'lakachti means that there's some place in the future that you have to be taken to. There's a point. God took you out. God took us out of Egypt, not stand that we should be free. And I'll add a parenthesis that any Jew who was ever someplace that he wanted to get out from, like Jews who left Russia, and Jews who left Syria, right, who were able to get out from these bad places, it's not stand that they should be free, and get good jobs, and have nice cars, and buy a house somewhere in Long Island. It's for the purpose of v'lakachti Hashem li la'am, to go someplace else, that there's a future for you. Hashem has a purpose for us. It's time to leave slavery. And Hashem said that I took you out in order that you should receive the Torah and serve me on this mountain on Har Sinai. And there are four parashiyot, the four special readings of Shkalim of Zachor and Parah, And then finally, Avachodesh Zalachem, the first three readings are talking about getting away from the impurity of Egypt. That has to do with Shkalim, with Zachor, with Amalek, getting away from Amalek, and Parshas Torah getting away from impurity. That's not enough to run away from something which is evil. That's not the end. That's not the purpose. Running away from something which is evil is only so that you should be able to be free to go to someplace which is good, where you belong, where you should be doing. Not just time to be free. Good, America is a free country. So what? You could sit down, you could lie in bed your whole life in a bag of potato chips and a remote control. You didn't bother anybody. So you could, you were taken out of Egypt. So the Hotseiti, the Itzalti, the Galti, beautiful. The only thing you're missing is Vilakhti. So Halakha said you're not allowed to make a break in between the third and fourth cup of wine, which symbolizes that you better know that whatever happened to you in the past, whatever God took you out of, it's because he has a purpose to take you somewhere else. You understand? It's something you have to do with your freedom. Not stop. Free. I remember my father was once amazed because I had a day off sometime. I was just thinking about this past week in 1967. You remember? In 1967 we had here in New York a snow, 18 inches of snow. It was a yontif, we had 5 days off from school. And it wasn't like this snow that fell on Shabbos. We had a snow, good Sunday night, late Sunday night, just perfect, ready for Monday morning. We had off the whole week. So I remember the first day, my father, I didn't have school, and we looked across the street from the school, we went to Davin. We came back. And my father, even though there was no car, my father couldn't get the car out because everything was completely snowed in. So my father, as is his way, put on his coat, and he's walking to the train, which is a few miles away. Because the buses weren't running, he's going to walk to the subway. In the meantime, after this, I ate a little bit, and I was very tired. And I went back to sleep. So what happened? So around 2 hours later, my poor father comes walking back, that is, it's impossible to go anywhere, and then he heard the train's not running, the whole thing. So he comes back, and he couldn't believe it. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, he sees it, I'm in bed. And he comes over to me, and he says, what are you doing? So I was very embarrassed, and I jumped out of bed, and I said, I was just resting, what do you mean? You just finished sleeping all night. What are you doing? So I said, I don't have anything, Daddy, I'm off today. Well, there's no school. My father looking like us from outer space. So what do you mean? So he has nothing to do? So why don't you do something? So my father is such a foreign, to this day, such a foreign concept, the word. They don't have anything to do. What do you mean? You read, you learn, you do something. You talk to your mother a little bit, she loves you. You do something. Boom. Huh? Anything, that's all. So that's good to help you. But a person who is taken from what, he's free. So now you're free from school, fine, you have the day off. So now what? La'an. So what? You were redeemed, you were saved, and you were taken from the horrible slave pits of school. So now what? So you're off from work. So what? So first of all, so I heard on the radio that the other night, on Motzei Shabbos, I had to go to Malava Malka from a certain Rebbe. So I heard on the news that the video stores are mobbed. Two places, they said, the video stores and the liquor stores were mobbed. There's like an unbelievable, there are unbelievable scenes going on in all the video stores and all the liquor stores. Because no one can do anything, you understand, you're shut in. So God forbid people should talk, God forbid people should think. The video stores were mobbed, they didn't know what to do because they had a shortage of movies, and the liquor stores, you understand. Because the question of a person who is removed from someplace that's not good, the question is, so what's going to be the lakakti to where? La'an, to where? So the final parasha that we read, the special parasha that we read, which is parasha HaKodesh, connects to the fourth language of Gula, which is lakakti. And I am going to take you someplace. Someplace different. Someplace new. Someplace unusual. Someplace you weren't ever, a place where you haven't been before. Now, we have a word in Hebrew. And the word is chotem or chatima. What does it mean chatima? Not a signature. What does it mean chotem? It means the final seal of something, right? What do we say in Yom Kippur? Gemar? Chatima tova, chatima. We seal. We spoke about this in Purim a little bit. We understand, of course, that it's impossible to know the true nature of something until the thing is complete, right? We don't understand something until it's finished. You don't know, you don't understand until something is done. You're in the middle of a book. You're in the middle of a book. You haven't finished the plot. So you don't understand it. You can't see it. Something is only clear when it's done. He spoke about this by Purim. Purim is the belief that there's going to be a good ending. But when we're in the middle of something, before it's complete, we can't see that it, we don't understand it. Until the end of something, until the siyum, until the end. Now, the way that we look at this world, the way that we look at Olam Hazeh, pay close attention. The way that, people look at this world, when is the end of this world? When does this world end? Don't say anything religious. Tell me plain. If someone comes up to you and says, what do you consider to be the end of your life? What would you answer? Any normal person would say, death. According to our understanding of what we see, according to what we see in this world with our eyes, the end of life is death. And death has an end. Death is the ending of life. The person is buried, and the body deteriorates and disintegrates, and that's the end. Along comes the Torah and says, God forbid. If you believe in this, you have no portion of the next world. God forbid. The Torah comes along and says, no. No. This world, in fact, this world is an alma d'shikra. This world is a world of deception. This world is a world of illusion. This world is a world of silliness and stupidity. There are many, many silly and stupid things in this world. All this world is, in the language of our Chachamim, is that this world is a prosdor, is a hallway that leads to the great, great place of Olam Haba. This world is simply a hallway. V'lakachti etchem li la'am. The fourth language of Geula means, the fourth language of redemption means, that there is no such thing that Hashem just stopped. He took you out of Egypt, he did this, he did this, he did that in the past. And then that's finished, and then you die. That's the end of your life, there's no such thing. The Jewish person believes that V'lakachti etchem li la'am means that after it seems that all the natural processes of this world have ended, after that's finished, Hashem has someplace else where He takes us. In other words, not like I was saying just on a simple, very simple level before, now that you're free, so what are you going to do with yourself? You have to do something. That's in this world. Let's say on a different level. Now that you're free from this world, and you're lying in the grave, and the worms are swallowing your flesh, so now what? So, Dr. Carson, those who deny the Torah say, now what? Now nothing. There's nothing to do. I just have to lie here and wait until they're done. The Torah says, V'lakachti etchem li la'am. It's something else. It's something else. So now we understand what it says in the Gemara. That when a person is 120 years old, and he comes to the higher court of judgment in the higher world, says the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara that says, B'shah shemachnisen adam ledin, at the hour when they take a person, at the time when they take a person in to be judged in the next world, what do they ask you first? So the question that they ask you, the Gemara says, two words. Tzipita li Yeshua? Tzipita li Yeshua? Tzipita li Yeshua? Tzipita li Yeshua, the question is, were you a person who was waiting for the Yeshua, for the salvation of Hashem? Were you a person who was tzipita li Yeshua? Tzipita li Yeshua? Were you waiting for something else? You anticipating something else? Were you anticipating something else? If that's the first question that they're asking us in the next world, it must be that somehow, it's not just a little detail, it must somehow summarize everything that we're about. It must be a question that's about our entire way of living in this world. And it is. It's the most amazing question. See, tzipita li Yeshua doesn't just mean were you waiting, when you were alive, did you wait for Mashiach to come? That's not the person they asked. You know, the other thing said, did you put on film? Did you keep traveling? What do you mean, did they? And you understand the question doesn't mean because God doesn't know. That's your judgment. What is the judgment? Now listen and let the words find the right place. The judgment of the human being in the next world of tzipita li Yeshua, did you wait for salvation, doesn't mean did you wait for Mashiach. That's on a very simple level. Because they gave us a million questions there.
That's the judgment of a human being whether he waited for Mashiach. No. The judgment of a human being is, how did you look at life in that world down below, so to speak, in this world, in the physical, how did you look at life? Did you look at life as being the end? Or did you look at life as being a hallway that leads to something that you anticipated? Something beyond this world? How did you look at the world? How did you look at the world? So you take a person. This is a very serious judgment. Should I make it a little, I think I'll make it a little bit clearer so we can get a little bit more nervous about it. Not that that's my general way to make people nervous. I try not to, but a little bit, you have to have a little Yirat Shamayim, it doesn't hurt. Let's get a little bit nervous for a moment. You come to the next world, and they ask you, you already know, because you heard the Gemara tonight. You remember, oh yeah, I know that question. What? Say it again. Sipit al Yeshua. Were you waiting for salvation? You say, sure, where do I go? Somewhere I have to go. We're taking to a nice place. I want to sit next to the Mashiach. Give me a nice room. Sipit al Yeshua. You're telling me, the higher court says, you're saying that your whole life you were waiting for that next, you anticipating the next stage. In the courtroom above, they say, really? So let's take a look at your life and see if your life bears that out. In fact, let's see. Let's take a look at your life. Let's see if that's what really, really was. And how can we tell? It's very simple. Here we measure the person's life. Comes out, 98.6% of your life was spent with concerns of this world. They took care of many things in this world. In this world. Now Hashem shows you all kinds of pictures, you know, in shopping malls and watching shows and going out and eating and drinking and talking on the phone and working so you can have more money for another vacation and another car and doing this and doing that. And all the time when Hashem's playing that movie, you hear the question, see, people are you sure? See, were you anticipating something else? And you keep on saying, yeah. And Hashem shows you your whole life as well. Hashem says, it looks from the film over here. Seems like in this film. And it doesn't, there are no lies, there's nothing edited over there, you understand? It's 100% legitimate film. It seems from the film that you weren't anticipating anything. And the proof is that you threw all of your energy and money and time into that world down below. How many mitzvahs and good deeds and things did you collect? How concerned were you with davening and with learning Torah, with things of the next world that bring you to the next life? Not so much. I see mostly you were worried about what color your carpet was and whether you could afford a new kitchen. And how much your neighbor's living with furniture cost. Say, listen, there's no lying in the world of truth. There's no lying in the world of truth. In the world of truth, they tell you, you weren't looking forward, you weren't anticipating, and the proof is that your whole life you flew into that world, and that's all you cared about, that's what you were involved in. Yeah, he's in the midst of the MVA, he said a couple of words about me, but that's not what you were situated in the physical world. You weren't a person of anticipation. Because a person who anticipates, you know the famous story from the Chafetz Chaim? Everybody knows this story. I remember hearing this when I was a little, little child, maybe most first or second grade. That by the Chafetz Chaim, somebody came to the Chafetz Chaim for a visit, a rich man came to the Chafetz Chaim, and he was shocked when he came to the Chafetz Chaim's house to see that there's hardly any furniture. The Chafetz Chaim used to sit on a bench. You know, he had nothing. There's no couches, nothing. He had a couple of benches. And the man was shocked. And he was a visitor, you know, from another place. He didn't know that the Chafetz Chaim was this way. He felt terrible. And he asked the Chafetz Chaim, he said, the Chafetz Chaim, Where's the rest of the furniture? So Chafetz Chaim said to him, where's the rest of your furniture? He says, Rabbi, I don't live here. I'm just visiting. I'm just passing through. Chafetz Chaim says, same with me. Just passing through. I don't live here. I'm just passing through. People like us, every penny, you know, into this world. More. Not for this book, and not for Olam Haba, not for this, not for this, not for more mitzvahs, not for Ma'aseh Tov, not for an Esrog, not for Lulav, not to fix up a shul, not to give to Tamiyat HaKamiyim, whatever it is. Here, I'm investing here. Oh, if you invest here, it means that you truthfully believe that this is where everything ends. Or else you're crazy to invest in a place that doesn't get fit. This is where you invest. You're investing in this world, that means that you believe in this world, and that's it. So the question of typically Yeshua that you long for salvation is not time for Mashiach. It's where were you holding when you were in the world? What did you see as being the end? Did you look at Vahotei Yitzalti V'Galti, that's it, that you were taken out of the suffering and misery, and then you came to America and you had a good life? And then that's it, and you invested everything into this country, into this life, into this world? Or are you a person of vilakachti that was waiting always like the Chafetz Chaim for the next place that you're going to? And therefore you were worried about mitzvahs and matan tov and good deeds and davening and praying and learning
and sending kids to the right yeshiva and supporting Torah and supporting Torah institutions. And judging by what you were doing in this world, we could tell whether you were a person who had his mindset on the next world or you were stuck in this world. Good. So the Mishnah says, this is clear. The Mishnah says, Eilu shein lam chelek b'olam hava. And these are people who do not have a portion in the next world. God forbid. Eilu shein lam chelek b'olam hava. These are people who don't have a portion in the next world. Chas v'shalom. And there are a few people there, different types, and one of them is, the one we're concerned with now, says, Ha'omer ein chiyat ha'meitim in atara. Pay close attention to the words. Ha'omer ein chiyat ha'meitim in atara. What does it mean, Ha'omer ein chiyat ha'meitim in atara? What does it mean? What do the words mean? Ein chiyat ha'meitim in atara. What does it mean in English? Ein chiyat ha'meitim. What does it mean, chiyat ha'meitim? There is no resurrection of the dead. There is no dead coming back to life. Min atara. What does that mean? What does it mean, dead coming back to life in the Torah? How does it mean? The meaning of the mission is, even if a person believes that the dead will come back to life, but you don't believe that that's already hinted at and alluded to and taught in the Torah, you just think that it's just something that we heard from the rabbis, or that we received in some sort of a tradition, but it's not, or the prophet, but it's not actually addressed in the Torah itself. Even if you believe in Tichat HaMeitim, but you don't believe that the Torah itself is teaching Tichat HaMeitim, the Torah itself is showing us Tichat HaMeitim. So God forbid, you have no portion in the world to come. In other words, you don't come back to life. You hear this? Even if you believe in Tichat HaMeitim, but you don't believe that it's in the Torah. I get loose. It doesn't say even in the Torah it's Tichat HaMeitim. It doesn't say anywhere that they're coming back to life. In the five books of Moshe, in the Chumash, it doesn't say anywhere. Specifically spelled out, doesn't say. So the Mishnah says, even if you believe in Tchad HaMeitim, but you don't believe that Tchad HaMeitim is already taught in the Torah, you're an Apikoros, you have no part in the next world, you're not to marry such a Jew. You're not to marry such a Jew who doesn't believe in Tchad HaMeitim in the Torah. You're not to marry your children to such a Jew. It's against the Torah to marry such a Jew. The wine that person touches is forbidden to other Jews. A person believes in the dead coming back to life. Here it is. The Navi, from the Nevi'im, from the later on by, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, but later on the Nevi'im with Rashi Baal Peh, from the Torah. That's what says the Bible. The Mishnah says it makes a big difference. If you don't believe it's in the Chumash, I want to explain that this bothered me. What does it mean? It doesn't say in the Chumash anymore. Right, there are hints. But if you don't believe in the Chumash from the Torah, then you have no portion in the world to come. That's what comes out for us. That's what says in the Mishnah. Last night, I spoke to the boys this morning, last night something very, very disturbing came over me. A certain thought came upon me. So I had to find my way out. You're not allowed to let yourself drown in a disturbing thought, God forbid. Hashem created this world for the purpose of revealing His presence, His glory. That the king's presence should be felt at the very, very end of the kingdom. Everybody in the world should feel the presence of Hashem. Everything. V'yadakol yitzur ki ata yitzato, v'yadakol pu'ul ki ata pa'alto. V'yomar kol Hashem neshama v'yapo Hashem is God. Everything in the world. The greater the king, the more the influence of the king, to the furthest ends of the kingdom. Such is the reason that was revealed to us by Chazal, and the Zohar Kadosh, and the writings of our holy masters, that the purpose of creation is that God's kingdom should be experienced and revealed to everybody and everything. So what bothered me, the thought, is that since the time that man came to the world, since the time the world was created until now, until today, Mamash, this will, this desire of Hashem, that His presence should be acknowledged in the world, by the whole world, and there should be clear acknowledgement of God's presence, this has never, ever, at all, worked. Never happened. It's never happened. Let's go through history for 2 minutes. So Hashem created man. Man is the most amazing thing. Adam HaRishon comes to the world. Wow. It's unbelievable. Adam HaRishon is an unbelievable creature, Adam HaRishon. A human being is an unbelievable thing. And this human being was to reveal God's glory, right? and was to live connected to Hashem. So we all know that that other Arishan failed. It didn't work out. And because of that, death came to the world in suffering and misery, yeah? Didn't work out. It wasn't what was supposed to be was. Hashem's glory was not revealed. Other than sin, he brought death to the world, all kinds of problems. Then there are 2,000 years of emptiness. 2,000 years of emptiness. 2,000 years of tohu. There are people who believe in God, some great people, Kano, Mikushala, there are some great people who believe in the God. Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu began something good. But again, that the whole world should acknowledge God's presence, the opportunity for that came back again when the Torah was given on Har Sinai, yeah? When the Torah was given on Har Sinai, they came to a point again in history and time when the whole world was to be uplifted, the Jewish people were being formed, and the Jewish people to show the whole world that there's a God in heaven, and it was to be the end of time. It didn't work out. We spoke about that last week. They boxed it up. Didn't work out! They worshiped the golden calf. Didn't work out. Didn't work. Fell to pieces. The whole thing that was all messed up. Everything got messed up. Here it is, God's plan. Second time that's being activated, and here it is, the whole world's going to be perfected. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, and they're all dancing around the golden calf. He throws the blue clothes down, he throws them down, everything is smashed. That's it, so much for God's big plan. Sorry. The Jews are supposed to come to Israel and to reveal God's glory to living in the land of Israel by keeping Torah and Israel. They botched it up with the spies. They don't go to Israel for 40 years. Sorry. God's plan is messed up. Finally, comes to the time to build the Mishkan. I skipped that. To build the Mishkan, the glory of Hashem was going to enter into the special place of God right in the desert. And it came to the greatest joy, the eighth day, by Hibayim HaShmini. And everything is so great, everybody's so happy, it's going to be the most amazing thing. And on that very same day, Nadav and Aviv, the two sons of Aaron, made a terrible mistake, and they were destroyed, they were set on fire, their insides burnt. And the whole day is rejoicing, changed the day of terrible mourning. Sorry, didn't work out. Finally comes to Shlomo HaMelech, he's going to build the Beit HaMikdash, right? He's going to build the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Fantastic. Here we go, another chance to reveal Hashem's presence in the universe. And to fix everything and to put everything in place. Good. The night that the Beit HaMikdash was finished, Shlomo HaMelech married the daughter of Pharaoh. She converted, but he married the daughter of Pharaoh. Hashem didn't like that at all. And our sages taught us that as a result of marrying the daughter of Pharaoh on that very same night, the Chazal tells us that Shlomo HaMelech had greater joy marrying the daughter of Pharaoh than he had finishing the Beit HaMikdash. He was happier about his wedding than he was about the Beit HaMikdash. Hashem sent the angel Gabriel, and it was on that very same night that the Beit HaMikdash was finished, that the kingdom of Rome was created, which is going to bring to the destruction of our people. Not one night with the Beit HaMikdash, things going well. Right away, that same night, the Roman Empire came into existence. The Khurban destruction. The very same night, there should have been everything perfect, Rome comes into the world to fight Aesop against the Ottomans. So think about it, pretty sad. We're already 5,753 years into this business of Hashem. It's an unbelievable, seems to be the most unbelievable losing proposition. If we would say that the master of the universe is a businessman, we would say he's a very unsuccessful businessman. So to speak. Very unsuccessful. He says that I'm making a world that I should have not consumed, that the world should be this way, that it should be... Not 1 minute. Anytime something seems to be going well, it gets messed up. A person looks at this, a person who has a sensitive heart, looks at this situation and asks himself that the whole purpose of creation is to make a world where God's kingdom is revealed, and it hasn't been one moment that hasn't worked out. Not joy, not simcha. So a person looks at this and has to be absolutely astounded by it. It's absolutely astounding. It's shocking. So why make it worse? So why? So what's going on over here? 5,753 years, huh? It's a long time. Chazal tell us that in this world there isn't simcha really. There's no real simcha, there's no real joy in this world. The Pasuk says, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. Yismach Yisrael b'yosav. Hashem will rejoice in the world. Yismach in the future. The Jewish people will rejoice in the future. Like I told you once before, that the name is Yitzchak, not Tzachak, not he laughed in the past, and Yitzchak, he will laugh. He will. There will be joy. There will be laughter. Not this world. In this world, which is a hallway, there's no sense. There's no complete joy. If you experience complete joy by having your favorite food, or having a nice girlfriend, a nice boyfriend, if that's your entire simcha of this world, then again, that meant that you were living only for this world. But anybody, any Jew, who lives for the sake of God, any Jew who lives for being Jewish, can't feel in this world a complete joy. That's why whenever we have a simcha, what do? We remember the destruction of Jerusalem, right? Even at a wedding, as you all know. Why? So you know what the poskim say. The reason is, so every Jew should know that the simcha is not complete. How could it be complete? How could you be so happy? You're 100% happy. Mashiach's not here. There's no Beit HaMikdash. You're 100% happy because you got new world faith. This is the simcha. You're 100%. Everything else in the world, this is the biggest simcha in your life. Yismach, there will be a simcha. There can't be complete simcha in this world because this world is an incomplete world. It's only a hallway. The very history of existence proves. It proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, as they say in the Matra, beyond a reasonable doubt. That's what Goethe thought. It proves by looking how God, it never had one, Hashem didn't have any nachas yet. His purpose hasn't been fulfilled. So what do we think? It's just not going well. It proves to us that the fulfillment of God's plan is in the future. Not yet. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. There's no simcha yet. There's something else. The lakakti. We're going to be taken somewhere. There's something after this. Everything in the world that lives, everything that is, lives forever. Well, we don't see it. Science has shown one thing that we have taken from all of modern science, and that Einstein is special. So Isaac Newton already touched upon this truth hundreds of years ago, and Einstein clarified it, and scientists now can't deny it, that there's nothing in the world that dies. The world doesn't die. There's a law of the conservation of energy, right? Even something which is physical, when it decomposes, the energy goes someplace else, doesn't disappear. Scientists have taught us over the last 100 years that there's such a thing as sound waves, right? What does that mean? It means when you speak. We always thought that when you say something, if you say it, it's gone. That's it. That's what we thought. The scientists sound waves. That when you say something, it doesn't disappear. There are waves, right? There are sound waves. They're light waves, right? Matter, when it decomposes, it changes its form, but it doesn't die. Nothing at all dies. Science has shown over the last 100 years that the world, everything in the world is continuously moving, right? When a person dies, the body stops moving. You know anything about science? Every single part of the body has millions and billions of cells. The bones, flesh, so on and so forth. Everything in the world continues to move. It's alive, always. Until now, they thought when a person lies, like if you weren't a religious person, when the person's buried in the grave, that's it, finished, it's done, there's nothing to talk about, done. The game is finished. No, scientists say now, no, it's not. There's no energy, no matter has ever lost. Not at all. There's no such thing. You can't see. When you plant the seed in the ground, until now, when you plant the seed in the ground, I once spoke about this, so you look, if you're, let's say you're the baby seed, and there's a mommy seed. And you look at your mommy, and your mommy is getting old, and she's going to decompose and break down. And the baby seed says, mommy, mommy, mommy. and they give each other a last kiss, and the mother says, "I'm sorry, sweetheart. Take good care of yourself. I'll always remember you. And, Mommy, please." And the mommy seed decomposes and dies. And you and I know that when the mommy seed decomposes and dies, that means that Akbar soon we're going to have a new tree. Right? It's going to be another tree. We thought it's dead. It looks like it's final. So we don't see, because there's a machita, there's a separation, there's a concealment, there's a delusion of this world that falls out of sheker that we can't see. And we think that when something finishes in this world, it's done. And that's how we live in this world, for this world, because there's nothing fair to the world. I believe in fair to me, too. In the meantime, I'm investing in the stock exchange with every penny I've got. And I'm not spending my money on tzedakah as much as I should. I'm not spending much enough time learning Torah and davening, helping people, which are all things of the next world. Because in this world, what do you see from it? What do you see from it? In this world, what do you see from davening? Not so much. What do you see from learning Torah in this world? Well, I see, to show up and you know, a couple of spoken by heart, I mean, that's what you're interested in, then you're a real idiot. I mean, you have to be a real dope to be like that. So what do you have from it all? What do you have from it? You do a nice deed. Are you hoping somebody will hear about it? Maybe it'll be written up in the newspaper or something, but you did a good deed. Covet, honor, glory. This is what we mean when we say in the Mishnah, Ha'omer she'ein chiyat ha'mitim min ha'Torah. If a person actually lives in this world and has the Torah and looks the Chumash, and he thinks, that the Chumash itself is not speaking, is not addressing, is not referring to something which goes beyond this world. The two words, I just said to the boys this morning, right? You remember, what are the two words in the Torah that tell us? Ubacharta, ubacharta b'chai. You know the two words in the Chumash in Devarim? And you shall choose life. When it says in the Torah, ubacharta b'chai, and you shall choose life, the meaning of ubacharta b'chai is not that you shall choose life. Look, when Hashem says to us, here's life and here's death, choose life. Shkoy, I need Hashem to tell me that. Or you think people go to the doctors all the time? I mean, what does it mean? It says in the Torah, you all know the passage. I place before you today a blessing and a curse, life and death. Choose life. What does it mean? You're going to take your vitamins and your pills? That's what Hashem is telling you, choose life. You need someone, you need God to tell you that. The biggest, because the biggest heretics in the world are running to doctors all day. Everybody's bowing down to the doctor. Everybody worships medicine. So what do you need God to tell you, choose life? We instinctively want life. No. So what do you think it means? What does it mean to choose life? What's the Torah saying? Not the Navi. What's the Torah saying to choose life? Choose the understanding that tells you that there's nothing in the world that's lost. There's only life beyond this life. And if you can't see it, if you can't accept it, if you can't believe it, it's because you are tricked and fooled and stupid and blind to the machitzas, to the barriers, and to the veil which cover the world. But if you're a person that understands and that thinks with the lazy obey of the heart that knows, then the entire Torah is telling you one great message. That whatever is here is not the end. The Hasaiti, the Talti, the Ga'alti, and only that you should come to the next stage, the Lakati somehow. That there's something beyond, that all of life continues. It doesn't end. When a person's in the grave, it doesn't end. There is no end. And this is what we're being taught by this parasha, HaKadosh Hu Ve'Lachem, that this month is yours, HaKadosh Hu Ve'Lachem. HaKadosh Hu Ve'Lachem, what does that teach us? When does Pesach take place? In the springtime. You know, according to the Torah, Pesach must take place in the spring. How do we call the spring in Hebrew? Huh? Aviv. It's an amazing thing. Because the Yontiv, the holiday, the time when the Jewish people celebrate redemption, and it was the beginning of the Jewish people, took place at a time of the spring when things begin to grow, right? But when do things really come to full blossom? In the month of Av. Later on, the summer. Pesach is the time of the Aviv. In Hebrew, when you say Aviv, you take the letters, you double them, and make something smaller. Like Eitz, a tree, Atzitz means a bush. Katan means small, Katan means tiny. Av means the father, the beginning. Aviv means a small beginning. A small father. A small father. So what's the mystery of the Aviv?
that the final redemption will take place in the month of Av. And this will be done, we see, with the month of Av, the time of terrible suffering, of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, of suffering and misery. In the time of Nisan, Hashem reveals to us the planting of something new. The Jewish people began as a nation in the spring, which is the beginning of something new. The springtime is when there's new life in the world. That's when we became a nation. And Hashem gave us the first mitzvah, and the first mitzvah he gave us is to count time, new months, a new year. I thought this was a lachat. What Hashem is telling us by that is, this is screaming at us. We have to listen.
But the mystery of the Jewish people is the belief that life is just starting. That it's just the beginning. That there's something else. HaKadosh is a lachem. It's the beginning of time. It's the beginning. It's the aviv. There's going to be an end. Beyond this world, there's something else. Not in this world. There is no end in this world. Nothing dies. Nothing is lost. But the mystery of the Jewish people is the belief that life is just starting. That it's just the beginning. That there's something else. HaKadosh is a lachem. It's the beginning of time. It's the beginning. It's the aviv. There's going to be an end. Beyond this world is something else. Not in this world. There is no end in this world. Nothing dies. Nothing is lost. We celebrate becoming a people when the world celebrates coming back to life in the time of spring. In the time of spring. When everything is just starting to grow. Not when things are fully grown. When things are starting to grow. That's when we celebrate redemption. The beginning of growth. When something is starting to grow. HaKadosh is a lachem. So when we say that a person who doesn't believe in Tzedakah Mitzvah from the Torah means, the same way that you have to believe that every single word of the Torah doesn't just mean what it says, but it means other things and deeper things, and it goes on for eternity, it means that you have to look at the world in such a way that every single thing that you see in the world, every single thing that you see in the world, every single thing that you ever experienced, every word you ever said, every action you ever did, every thought you ever had, doesn't just end. It goes on somewhere else. And we go on someplace else. It doesn't end over here. We go on someplace else. This isn't the end. It's the beginning. It's a whole. This, I hope, will help us understand a little bit the tradition that we have that comes to us in the Talmud Gaonim, that during the month of Nisan, the dead will come back to life. Because the dead coming back to life, I asked at the very beginning, so what does that do with me now, believing the dead comes back to life? Okay, what does that do with me now? There's everything to do with me now. If you believe with all of your heart that the dead will come back to life, it means that your life here is being lived with the understanding it is not for here, it's for someplace else. I'm not living for now. I'm living for somewhere else. For some other time. From the lakachti etchem lila'am. Ve'ayiti lachem le'elokim. For another time in another place. Another time in another place.
Sometimes a person makes compromises. Sometimes you have to make compromises. But when a person makes compromises with the Torah, let's say like this. Let's say you have a job. There are halachas about this too, but let's say you have a job, and the job is for, you until now you're making $40,000. Now you have an offer for a job, and they're going to pay you $140,000. But you have to work on Shabbos. It's a small price to pay. $40,000, and now you're going to get $140,000. So the mind begins to go to work. I'll do it for 2-3 years, I'll save enough money, then I'm going to go and study Torah the rest of my life, yeah? And keep Shabbos. It's kind of games. I'll save up enough money. This is how the person thinks in this world. He can fool himself and say, I'm doing it for the sake of God, so I should be able to save up enough money, and I'll be able to keep Shabbos and send my children so that I shouldn't have to work on Shabbos. You know, all these things. Like, my children shouldn't have to work on Shabbos. I'll work on Shabbos. My children should. If you think such thoughts, God forbid. Let me give you an extreme example, but even a little thought like that. That means if you don't believe in the dead coming back to life. Why?
Because if you believe that the purpose of life here is just the beginning to something much, much bigger, much greater beyond, and the fact that someone will work with you $140,000 to work on Shabbos, it's simple. Why sell your life for $100,000? Why sell your soul for $100,000? You're crazy. But what? Why give up $100,000? Why? Like I was having. Any time that you back down, that you back away from holiness, that you back away from holiness because of considerations of this world, and are not necessary. Sometimes you have to, but considerations that are not necessary. That means that you prize this world more than the next world. And in a certain way, you doubt the truth that the next world, beyond this world, is infinitely more precious. And that this world continues beyond it. The one that we're in continues into some process. And you think that it's just for you. It's just for you. So you see that believing in Tzviat HaMetim is not just something for the end of time. But I believe it's going to happen at the end of time. Belief in Tzviat HaMetim affects every single thing that you do. Every single thing that we do is affected by our belief in Tzviat HaMetim. Because the belief in Tzviat HaMetim means that I believe that my life here doesn't end here. Therefore, I invest over there. I invest in something outside, beyond. Outside. You tell a person, I just want to make it more concrete, you tell a person, according to the Torah, give an example. According to the Torah, you have to, I'm going to give a hard example that's going to be taken personally, but I don't mean it personally, I mean it as a way of teaching. Understand. You tell a Jewish woman that she has to cover her hair when she's married. Hashem says, it says in the Mishnah, you have to cover the hair. For thousands of years, every Jewish woman covered her hair. But I'm not going to look so pretty, I'm not going to be so beautiful. Did you ever think that maybe God asks you in this world to give up certain things because there's something beyond this? It's more important than this. Even though Hashem values the beauty of a woman, and that you should feel good about yourself. Aside from the fact nowadays they make such wigs that they come out being more attractive without with the wigs than without them. I'm not even talking about that the style. No, I'm not going to tell them. I mean, they come up with all kinds of crazy things. I had ladies that told me the only, you know, half, I said, look, your grandma looked at the picture, they all covered their heads. I said, no, the only thing they covered their heads is the abs also covered their heads. So that was the style. I keep the style now, it's not the cover there. You could say all these funny things until you're 120 years old. When you come to the next world, they say, Madam, step over here, please. See, people, are you sure? Now, were you believing with all of your heart that the most important place is after this world, and did you live that way? Sure. Hashem says, I don't know, it looks like your own hair over there, lady, in the picture. I told you you can't do that. But I don't want my husband doesn't like the way it looks, my friends would make fun of me. Stand it. You told me that you were investing in the next world, so then how come you were so stuck up on that world, down below? It's easier said. I'm saying it in an easy way. It's a lot harder to do. Hashem should give us the strength. All of us, including myself, we have problems making these decisions. It's a hard thing to make this decision. All things, they're hard to make these decisions. But if you stick to the belief in Tzviat HaMetim, if you stick to the belief in Tzviat HaMetim, and your hope is strong, and your mind is up 100 times a day, this is not it. This is not all. This is not all. It gives you the strength to make good decisions. The decisions are not just made for people of this world, for things of this world. It gives you the strength to make good decisions. No, Hashem is brought to help us. We should have the strength to make the right decisions. We should open up our eyes to see all the new things that are in the world, how the world is changing, to remind us that there's no such thing as death. And we should know that anything that we ever davened, and anything that we ever felt, and anything that we ever wanted is not got to the Lord, and Hashem remembers and cares. And everything that we ever say is being kept, stored. Hashem should take the month of Nisan, it was the time of Geula. Chachamim said that in Nisan at Nigalu, in Nisan we were redeemed. Uber Nisan at Pidim Ligael, in Nisan we will be redeemed. The month of Nisan should be a month of Nisim Niflaot, of Yeshuot, Nechamot to us, and to all the Jewish people.